multiplication of the gift service day. There we go. The gift service day on the 10th of December. So there'll be more information about that, but just be aware that that will be happening. So that's the 10th of December. There's no discipleship group on Tuesday morning for this week. It'll be back the week after. And a reminder too for all elders, the joint session meeting on the 25th, that's Saturday 25th, here at 10 o'clock till about 12:30. One other thing is putting together a communicants class for through January and February. Anyone who is thinking about membership of the church wants to come to that, then that'll be fine. There's no detail of when it's going to happen. And anyone who maybe joined a wee while ago and just wants to take some time to rethink about what all that was, then you're most welcome as well. If you want to take that time to do that, you're most welcome. The idea would be anyone who would be joining the church would be at service on the 18th of February, so they would be communicant members as we go to communion in March. We have an introit and an exeunt, so the Bible will be brought in to the introit and taken out again as we stand and sing the exeunt. But we'll get through all that as bit by bit. So our introit then is, let's stand to worship and sing together. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Let's worship. Call to worship, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord in his strength and seek his face always. Amen. As we sing our next hymn, a wreath, memorial wreath, will be brought forward and just laid at the bottom of the lectern here. My Jesus, my Saviour, Lord, there is none like you. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Loving God, we come into your presence at this time of worship. And we come just to give you all the glory and the honour, the blessings. For it's right for us to come before you to glorify your name, to give you the honour. It's right for us to come and just to be before you, Lord, to dwell in your presence, to bow before you. For you are our loving God, our Creator God, our Almighty God. And Father, as we worship, we ask that your Spirit would be with us. Father, we come to this time of worship expecting your presence, anticipating your very touch, your healing touch, your caring touch, your compassionate touch. And Father, we approach you now with awareness and humility. And we confess those things, Lord, that suddenly make us appear self-centered. Those things that make us appear selfish. We confess those times when all of a sudden we're thinking about I want. I demand. And so, Father, we bow before you. And we ask what it is, Lord, that you want. We bow before you and we confess our sins, our wrongdoings and of action, of words, of thought, and we seek your forgiveness. And as we seek your forgiveness, Lord, we remember too that Jesus died for us, that as he died on the cross, he was carrying all our sins so that we might be forgiven. And so by your Spirit present with us, enable us to know what that means, to feel the release of the chains that bind us. To know that we are created anew and afresh. And Father, as we come to you now, seeking to be renewed and renewed, seeking to know your ways in our lives, hear us as we pray together using the words that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. We forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. All over the world, as the prophet said it would be. Let's worship.
Oh.
And we hear now the word of God. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Let's stand to worship him again. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, as we come before you to in our worship, so we come seeking your ways and seeking to know more about you. And at this time, Lord, that may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God. Amen. You know, for some of us, our glasses are half full. For some, they're half empty. And I suppose for some, it'll depend what's in the glass anyway. But there's different ways of looking at things. And as we explore things differently, or look at things in different ways, then we begin to see things from different sides. Somebody once said to me, we were talking about the two creation narratives, Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, and they said to me, Dave, it's just like looking at a car. The car was split down the sides, and one side was white and the other side was black. If you're looking from one side, you see a white car, and if you're looking from the other side, you see a black car. And I'm not entirely sure that explained the two creation narratives for me. But what it does do is illustrate the fact that we can see the same thing from different sides. And so sometimes it's important that we need to make a more informed decision on things, that we need to look deeper into various aspects, particularly of Scripture, to try and work out just exactly what that bigger picture is. What does that really look like, the bigger picture? And one of these things for me is that it was called the three offices of Jesus Christ. We spoke last week about Jesus as the great high priest, and today is looking at as Jesus in the office of prophet, and next week being the last week of the Christian, last Sunday of the Christian year, we look at the reign of Christ as King, the third office. So Jesus Christ, priest, prophet, and King. And as we look at that, we begin to build up, it's a rounder, maybe a rounder, a bigger picture of who Jesus is. And what that means for us, because it's important for us to try and work out what that means for us as disciples, as followers of Jesus Christ. So to start with, prophecy, the prophet being one who prophesies. Prophecy is not about fortune telling, at least not in our context, but it's about telling of the future, but having been divinely inspired. And there's the key for me, is the divinely inspired, but where a prophet of God is someone who comes, has been divinely inspired. So prophecy is a divine inspiration. If we think about Jeremiah or Isaiah, the Old Testament prophets, we see that. Well, they don't go somewhere on their own and say, I think. But they go somewhere and say, God says. Jonah is probably my most favorite prophet, where he's sent by God to deliver a message to the people of Nineveh. And in being sent there, well, he doesn't want to be sent there. That's the whole story. He doesn't want to go there because he knows that if he goes there and tells them the story, the message from God, they'll change their behavior, and he doesn't really want that because he doesn't like them. That's the story, kind of, in a nutshell. But of course, God doesn't allow that to happen. He sends Jonah to Nineveh, and Jonah goes, and he tells the people of the message from God, and of course, they hear it, and they change their behavior, and they're saved. And we see more of Jonah. But a prophet nonetheless, divinely inspired, divinely sent to tell a message. I know we also see the whole thing about prophecy as a gift of the Holy Spirit. One of the gifts, specific gifts of the Holy Spirit, is prophecy, a gift that he will assign to people as he sees fit to do. And that, we read that in 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of the Spirit, and that's not just something that was for then. For me, that's for now as well. But the gifts of the Spirit are still with us and still alive. So then we have the whole idea of prophecy. Prophecy as it's been seen in the Old Testament. Prophecy now is a gift. And we start to build up a picture of who Jesus is within this idea of being a prophet. One of the first prophecies for Jesus is from Deuteronomy 15. And I'm going to start at verse 14. This is where Moses has been sharing various instructions from God. And he says this: in the land you're about to occupy, people follow the advice of those who practice divination and look for omens. But the Lord your God does not allow you to do this. Instead, he will send you a prophet like me from among your own people, and you are to obey him. So that's that first prophecy of Jesus Christ. And when we begin to look back at the prophecy from what we see Jesus fulfilling that prophecy. So we're looking at Jesus as the fulfillment of prophecy. In Isaiah at chapter 9 and verse 6 is this: for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatest of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So there's a prophecy of Jesus in Isaiah. And if we move to Zechariah, again at chapter 9, and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. The coming of Zion's king, the prophecy again of Jesus. And so we see Jesus as the fulfillment of prophecy. And Jesus himself identifies himself as being a prophet. And again, it's just a case of turning to Scripture, for we would turn nowhere else to see these things. But in Luke's Gospel at chapter 13, at verse 33, and this is Jesus' sorrow for Jerusalem. So at that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, "Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you." He replied, "Go and tell that fox, I will keep on driving out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must press on today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem." So there's Jesus describing himself as a prophet. And in Matthew's Gospel, at 13, at verse 57, when Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. "Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers?" they asked. "Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home." And he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. So Jesus again here just identifies himself as a prophet. And then says that a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and his own home. And he didn't do many miracles. I'd like to point out here that he may not have done many miracles, but he clearly did some miracles, Scripture tells us. So that's Jesus then now describing himself as a prophet. He sees himself as that prophet. He sees himself as the one who is telling of the future. He's telling of God's word. He's revealing God to the people. He's teaching and he's judging. So here he is as prophet. He then, we can look through Scripture and we can see times where people recognize him, other people recognize him as a prophet. In John 4, there's a story of the Samaritan woman at the well. And she sees him as a prophet. That discussion they have, and you remember that, he's asked for a drink from the woman, there's a discussion, and he points out her life. And then she says, Sir, I can see that you're a prophet. I can see that you're a prophet. So she identifies him as a prophet. She actually goes and gets other people and brings them to Jesus, to the prophet, because he's told her of her life. And because of that, she goes and brings others. We can look too at John 6, after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. So the people see him as prophet. The people who witnessed miracles listed in Matthew's Gospel and others, saw Jesus as a prophet. The disciples, after his death, and there's the story of the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they're talking about their leader, their rabbi, their teacher, having been killed. And Jesus is walking with them, and he asks them, "What's up?" And they speak about their prophet. The prophet that they were following has been killed. And in Acts, Stephen the martyr and Peter both speak about Jesus as prophet. So we have Jesus seen by others as a prophet. Jesus identifying himself as a prophet. And from Scripture we see that Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy. All this starts to build up to that, to who Jesus is and who he is for each one of us. And that brings us to this reading in Revelation and to go right into it is a few sermons worth, which trust me we don't have time for just now, but it reads through as you go through this Revelation. It's what John is seeing and what's been described to him and revealed to him by God. And at the end of our reading, at verse 9, then the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. At this, I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. For it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. You know, as we look at Jesus and we think about him, this office of prophet, there's other faiths, other religions that will agree with that, but they'll put a full stop there. Jesus was a prophet, full stop. But that's only part of the picture for us. We don't stop there. And this last piece of the reading from Revelation starts to tell us why. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. So John being that prophet, John being a prophet, had received, particularly when we read right through Revelation, we see that John had received a whole load of revelation, clear revelation about the temptation of idolatry. And actually we see him falling prey to that whole thing when he falls at the feet of the angel to worship him. It's in there. That's a wee thing for us to know. Actually, we worship God. We don't worship an angel. We don't worship anything else. But we worship God through Jesus. But this, the testimony of Jesus is Jesus' own testimony. So the witness of Jesus is his life, his teachings, his healings, and his death. That's his witness, that's his testimony. And we see that in our scriptures. But those who hold to or proclaim this testimony are Christian prophets. And so the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So the words spoken by Christian prophets come from the Spirit of God, divinely inspired, who is the spirit of the risen Jesus. The words spoken by Christian prophets are the words of God, the true words of God. Where does that leave us? How does that involve us? Well, I'm going to tell you that when we share about who Jesus is, when we share about the life of Jesus, when we tell even the Christmas story, the birth narrative, when we share these things and be able to say that who Jesus is, we are a prophet. We're bringing in the revelation of God to people. We're bringing in that revelation of who Jesus is. We're sharing what we have received divinely. And we're seeing for ourselves that fulfillment of the prophecy of who Jesus is. So that idea of prophecy continues with each one of us. Think about every time you share, every time you share in the Christmas story or the Easter story, there you're sharing in a prophecy. You are a prophet. You're sharing God's word. You're giving testimony to Jesus. And it doesn't matter if it's only in part. You're giving that story. Because for each one of us, we're able then to add bits to it. I don't mean make them up, but actually remind people that Jesus then went on to die for us. You can link Christmas to Easter. We can tell the stories of the miracles that have happened. For none of this stuff was stuff that's been left years behind, years ago. This is all stuff for us today. So Jesus Christ, in the office of prophet, means much more to us than we can possibly think. As disciples, as followers of God, we share and we prophesy and we're prophets when we share the testimony of Jesus. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And we continue in our worship with our offering. As we come together in prayer, we remember these things, the prayers of our prayer tree, the things of joy that we share together and share in our own hearts. And I just want to ask too that as we think of things of joy, we remember from the Crossreach calendar, the volunteer development team at Caris House. They're supporting Crossreach services to include volunteers. So it's appropriate too that we remember the volunteers. And from Presbytery, on the Presbytery care prayer diary this week is Cumbrae linked with St John's and the Reverend Jonathan Fleming. And the Presbytery committee we remember and pray for is the Ministries and Superintendents Committee. And the convener, Mr. Alan Richardson. When we get to these things of concern, we remember those who died in the air crash in South England, the helicopter and the Cessna that collided. And we remember too the family and friends of Gaia Pope, the girl who was missing for a few days and a body's been found. So we remember them in prayer as well. We remember ongoing situations in the world, the whole thing with North Korea and the US. It might be a wee bit quieter at the moment, but actually I don't think it's gone away. And we remember too the situation in Zimbabwe as things have changed and developed over the last week. So let's come together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you to worship you and to praise you. And as we come and worship. We give you thanks that we can come to worship, to honour you, to glorify your name and to enjoy you forever. We give you thanks that this offering presented to you is from you. From all the things that you've given us, we give a token back to you. And Lord, as we pray that it would be used for the building up of your kingdom. And so as we pray, we think about that kingdom. What does your kingdom look like in this place? Father, where we see your word shared, your love shared with your people. Where we see justice. Where we see situations restored. And Father, we pray for this town, this place. And we pray that your kingdom come would be here, that your people would know you, they would know your healing, that they would call in your name. And Father, we pray for your church here in this place and further afield, that your church would be a beacon calling to the people, that the goodness and your love and your goodness would just flow from your church to your people. And Lord, as we commit ourselves to you once again, we ask that you would hold us and lead us. Direct us. Give us the words and the things that we need to do day by day. Enable us to be your disciples. And Father, in this silence, we just pray our own prayers. For those on our minds and for those on our hearts. Living God, remember all whom we remember and forget none whom we forget. Hear this prayer offered in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Saviour, our Redeemer. Amen. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son. Let's worship. Do not treat prophecies with a contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good, reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. Amen. Standing, and we'll sing together our excerpt, "You Shall Go Out With Joy," as the Bible is removed. Thank you.